Have a major announcement right now. So the whole month is White History Month. From now on, happy White History Month.
It's White History Month. I'm gonna celebrate with my friends. It's White History Month. So be sure to tell everyone that we'll always be different months to celebrate. This month's gonna be White History.
Amazing! It's White History Month. Happy White History Month. July just feels white. Isn't that amazing? Amazing! We are celebrating our 7th year of White History Month. Congratulations! It doesn't get any better than this. Can you imagine 7 years have gone by? July just feels white. And so today is the kickoff of July White History Month. Happy White History Month. Vacation time, reflection time, appreciation time, all those good things. Amazing. So happy 4th of July. Happy White History Month. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And we're also uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. And we have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on Jesse Lee Peterson. .com/show, JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about running around so you're not able to sit and just watch the show live, you can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad anywhere in the world. And it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you are, right? You can call 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. Amazing. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. So, today is the kickoff, first day of White History Month in July, 7 years of celebration. And I personally could not think of a better person to have with us today, a special guest, a mighty man of valor, Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I've had him here before. I've had him on the HakeReport.com before. And we're going to give you his information, website, and everything as we move here. Congressman Steve King served in the United States Congress for 18 years, from 2003 until 2021. He is an author of the book Walking Through the Fires. I've been tried in the fire, and the flames get so hot, I can't see the sky for the smoke in my eyes. And he's been walking through the fire. We're going to talk to him about that. My fight for the heart and soul of America. Congressman Steve King, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me on this morning, Jesse. I've had a few minutes of entertainment here listening to you start this day out for White History Month. And I'm sitting here with a pretty good tan, so I kind of...
I couldn't think of a better American to start this month off with, White History Month. I was 7 years, and I really do appreciate you being here. I have a nice little intro I want to play before we get to our discussion, and this clip is from the New York Times, 2019, and this was before Trump. There was a Steve King. Watch this.
Construct itself to be a 12-foot finished wall just like that.
That's Representative Steve King.
We do that with livestock all the time.
Pitching the idea of building a wall between the U.S. and Mexico more than a decade before it became President Donald Trump's central immigration policy.
The wall's going to get built, folks. Just in case anybody has any question, the wall's going to get built.
King has been a Republican member of Congress from Iowa. He's made a name for himself as a hardline opponent of illegal immigration.
He may be the world's most conservative human being.
Right, it's our job here in this Congress to decide who will be citizens, not someone in a foreign country that can sneak into the United States and have a baby and then go home with a birth certificate.
Preventing babies from being born is not medicine. That's not constructive to our culture and our civilization. If we let our birth rate get down below the replacement rate, we're a dying civilization.
Where did any other subgroup of people contribute more to civilization?
Than white people?
Than Western civilization itself, that's rooted in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and the United States of America, and every place where the footprint of Christianity settled the world.
Asia?
That's all of Western civilization.
Well, what about Asia?
Amazing. Representative King, we spoke at APAT 3 back in 2021, along with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others. What happened? This is like, my America is gone now for the most part. You were leading the way about the wall. You were trying to put America first. You wanted to make it better. And they didn't like that. What went wrong? In America, that we are where we are now.
Well, they've taken down our culture, Jesse, and in the foundation of all of this, and in my studies of history, it always amazed me that they didn't address religion. It was, you know, the Ottomans attacked the Western Europe, yeah. But they didn't say this was Muslims versus Christianity, for example. But the core of what happens in the world is the culture and the foundation of civilization. And you heard me say that Western civilization is everywhere where Christianity is provided the foundation for it.
Yeah.
That's our values, our work ethic. It's the pillars of American exceptionalism also, most of which are in the Bill of Rights. The freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, keeping bare arms. You can go on through the whole Bill of Rights, and then you add to that the rule of law, free enterprise capitalism, and understand that it's a nation that's founded on Christian principles. They went after all of that. And if I take this to a thing, it is a human nature that's foretold in the Bible. I'm not just good and evil, but in the Catholic Bible, in the Book of Wisdom, I write this in my book, Walking Through the Fire, and it's an insight that came to me alone. I haven't picked it up from anybody's instruction, excuse me. But they write in there that it foretells the future crucifixion of Jesus. and the plotters. And so they say it this way. This is the way it reads in the Book of Wisdom. And it says, let us beset the just one. They're speaking of Jesus. Let us beset the just one, for he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings and charges us with violations of our training. Now, that's kind of like,
that's amazing.
Jesus was the guilty conscience of the people who called him the just ones who were set to crucify him. Now, if you take that quote out of the Book of Wisdom and change the singular pronoun that refers to Jesus, the just one, as the just ones, as meaning the just people in the world. Yeah. And I'm going to apply that to people that carry, I'll say, Christian values, regardless of their religion. And so now it reads, let us beset the just ones, for they are obnoxious to us. They charge us with they set themselves against our doings and charge us with violations of our training. In other words, when the virtuous world of Western civilization has the envy of the world, Western civilization is the envy of the world, and they want to take it down because it's the evil within them. And so they've done so through our schools, through our churches. Every institution in America has been corrupted to a degree, and some completely corrupted. And here we sit today trying to restore our culture and our civilization without quite understanding what's happened to us, and we watched it happen. I saw it happen in the beginning years ago, as you said.
Yeah. Christianity, in my opinion, is the best religion on this side of heaven. And we are a Christian nation. We were founded and created because of that. As you said, one of the best nations in the world. How did the Christians go to sleep and didn't see what evil people were trying to do? What happened with the Christian men and women who were true Christians back then that they allowed it to happen? Because good can always defeat evil if you understand and can see what's really going on. Were the Christians asleep or what?
Well, I think that they were asleep to a degree. There's no question about that, I don't think. But each of these institutions were targeted. Some of this is the communist Marxist strategy, the Clower-Piven strategy, to create chaos and break down our government and put us into debt. Other things happened. The Flower Children of the 60s, and that's exactly my generation, although I wasn't among them. they turn on, tune in, drop out. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So we had free love, promiscuity. It amazed me that I first heard of birth control pills in about 1965. And then things started to happen. So women for the first time had a contraception that allowed them to be as promiscuous as they chose to be.
Yeah.
And with all of those options that were there, different methods of contraception, they were right in front of everybody. They had to add abortion to that, to kill the babies on top of it. And so they broke down the value of sacred human life. They broke down the value of monogamy and marriage. They went after all of these institutions that anchor us together. And the force of evil was enough temptation for a lot of useful idiots to say, we're going to walk away from our culture for now because it's fun. And what happened is it poisoned the entire civilization.
Yeah. And so one other question about that. Men at one time and during those days when all that stuff first started that I'm aware of, men were stronger than they are today. And they were leading the way. There were good women who loved the roles that, you know, that men were the leader. How did the men become weak and allow those women to come up with this abortion stuff? And what made the men say okay to the women?
Well, one thing is the women began teaching the boys not to be aggressive, don't fight, don't be, you know, suppress whatever testosterone drives you to be aggressive. That was going on in our culture. I'll just give you a narrative here from a couple of weeks ago. I've got a number of grandchildren that have been playing baseball this summer, baseball and softball, boys and girls. And the one is about an 8 or 9 year old. I won't give his name here on the air.
Right.
But he was catching. He's a good kid too. But he was catching and he got hit by a ball pretty hard. And he went down and started to roll on the ground. And I could see where it hit him. And he was going to be all right. And I'm behind the plate there. And I just said, all right, shake it off. Get up. Let's go. And that was all fine. And then when I said, we're raising men here, that's when I got pushback from the moms. They don't want to hear that.
They hate that word.
Yeah. And so, but I've lined up my grandchildren, Jesse, and I said, when they're little on, from like 5 years old or so, and say, what are you, a boy or a girl? Well, whichever they answer, I'm a boy. Are you going to grow up to be a man or a woman? Oh, man. I'm teaching them
what
they're going to grow up to be because we have to now.
Right on.
They've broken down the roles of masculinity and femininity. And I'll take you clear back to 1998. We passed a law in the Iowa Senate, where I was then, with the Defense of Marriage Act. And when that bill was written by leadership or whoever the powers that be, and what came in front of my eyes, I looked at that where it said, marriage shall only be between one man and one woman. And I brought an amendment and successfully in Iowa law today, even though the courts have overturned it, it says marriage shall be only between one male and one female.
Right.
And I told them, I don't want to argue about what a man is or what a woman is. That was 1998. And what was it, 2 years ago? And we have a Supreme Court justice that doesn't know what a woman is. You know, it takes a biologist to do that.
And
they scrambled our minds, Jesse. And you look back at the Declaration of Independence, and we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And they meant all men when they wrote that, not three-fifths or whatever that number was. They meant all men, and it was the South that negotiated that. They didn't want to let them vote. They just wanted to count them in their representation. But then we've changed that now, where it's men and women, as it should be. But we're created equal. And but it doesn't say all genders of all kinds, the entire alphabet plus an infinity.
Right.
It is. It just says men, and then we added women. And when you look at the Civil Rights Act, Title VII, it doesn't say gender. It says sex. We're going to protect people unbiased with regard to sex.
Yeah.
Sex is a binary definition. They added the word gender about 1998 in Iowa, too, and I sued Governor Vilsack successfully over that. Because I argued this, that that gender is in your head and sex is below the belt. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And when they got that word gender in there, now when I do fill out my medical forms, they say, what's your gender?
I know.
And I refuse to answer my gender.
Yeah.
My dog doesn't know what gender is because it's in their head.
That is so true. I've noticed, let me ask this. I noticed that when you were a congressman and you were involved and you were standing up for the country, you were standing for family, you were standing for what is right, there were not many people in Congress or the Senate who were working with you. And I noticed that now that Donald Trump is back, there are not many. When he was there, there were not many men and women who were willing to stand with him. Why is that always one or two who's willing to stand, whereas most are not? What's that about?
Well, I just think that there's a huge lack of courage, Jesse. And, you know, when I've been, of course, in the public eye for a long time. I've been the number one target in the nation for months on end.
Yeah.
And so when you face that and you look at how others react to it, it's, for example, when they had their political lynch party on me started in 2019 and continued for a long time.
Yeah.
When that happened, there would be, if I'd be out on the floor of Congress and my friends didn't want to come over and talk when the C-SPAN cameras were on. It didn't mean nobody would, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And, but if it was back behind in the cloakroom, that was a little different. And if it was my breakfast that I hosted on Wednesday mornings as chairman of the Conservative Opportunity Society, they showed up just the same as they always did. But but so that heat, people add things to association, the media, and force and squeeze answers out of them. And then once they get them on record, they're stuck with that. Lee Terry, former congressman from Nebraska, and a pretty good guy on balance, came up to me one day. This would be maybe a dozen years ago or more. And he said, I just thought I'd come and tell you that the press asked me a question about you, and I had to answer him this way. I'm coming to apologize, but I wanted to let you know straight up, man to man.
And wow.
Yeah, it's like he knew it was wrong, and he came to me and apologized. He knew it was wrong when he said it, but he had to say it for the media, I guess. That's what's his conclusion.
What a mess. What was it like? And I remember some of the things, seeing you go through a lot. And you were standing alone for the most part. What was it like at the time, if you can remember, when you were going through that and you had to stand alone? What were you thinking and feeling?
Hmm. Well, Jesse, I always knew the Lord was with me. I had read enough of other people's struggles to know that he was with me, and I believe that I was being, and I still believe I was being prepared for something else. So that was a consolation within me and within my soul, I will say. I'm trying to do my job for those last 2 years too, when I've been completely ostracized.
Yeah.
And when the new freshman class came in, actually they came in essentially the same week that this all came down on me. And I couldn't even go over and introduce myself to them because it would look like I was trying to find a friend when I didn't have any. And I didn't have hardly any friends. Yeah. Louis Gohmert stood with me and a few others, but not the rest of them, not publicly. Louis did publicly. So I would just stand on the back of the house chamber and that brass railing back there and just kind of lean on that, listen to the things and do whatever else. And people would walk by me and they tap me on the back or whisper and just say, you know, you got the shaft, King. And on they go. But they wouldn't stop and look up the C-SPAN camera and smile. And so they're afraid of the criticism. And I've always been the other way, that you better say the truth.
Yeah.
I don't want to be caught in some trap where I avoided a confrontation or whether I walked away from a principle that needed to be defended. That wasn't my job. My job is to uphold the Constitution and defend those principles that made America great. And still, what's left of them, keep America great.
Amazing. I noticed that men who stand up, they always, for the most part, have to stand alone. It just seemed to be a spiritual rule or principle, because I realized that most people are not going to get on that straight and narrow path that leads to salvation, that leads to excellence in life, because it's a hard path to take. And when you take that path, you do have to stand alone, and you must be willing, as Christ did, you must be willing to stand alone, and it'll be okay as long as you are willing to stand alone for what is right.
Well, and Jesse, a couple things about leadership. And first of all, I've come from, you know, my background is essentially a ditch digger. I started doing construction work down in the hole and worked my way through, started a construction business in 1975, and then on to Congress. And I looked around me, and here are these people that are doctors and lawyers and judges and professionals with degrees from elite universities. This is the cream of the crop when they arrive there. They really are high quality people, high quality education at least. And so I came from a different way. I say it's my PhD from the University of Hard Knocks. But I was watching folks as they came in. I said, I don't know how many 9 freshman classes come in. What separates people that have gone through the same filter, a similar crucible? They arrive in a place like that. Some of them rise above the others, and others drift off into the back benches. And one of those is people that go that arrive at the front, they trust their instincts. There's not time to do a poll, evaluate, go around and ask for a consensus. If you believe in something, go after it.
Yes.
And so Michelle Bachmann was one of those that really let me see that as in someone else. And then
I remember Michelle Bachmann too.
She is a wonderful and brilliant person.
Yeah, I spoke at events with her before.
And then
she's been here before. But go ahead.
I would expect Jesse that the next thing is that to trusting your instincts when it's time to lead. If the hill has to be taken, don't look back and say, "Are you guys all with me?" You got to just go.
Absolutely, just go. Absolutely, man. What? No, I got to ask. Now that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution no longer exist for the most part, they have taken it away, and they are taking it away daily. Is there any way that America can come back, return, since we don't have the Declaration of Independence, we don't have the Constitution, we don't control the courts and judges and all that anymore, and God is not, except for inside a few individuals, God is not around in the schools and the government and play. Is it possible to return?
Well, we have to believe it's possible, Jesse, and it's a difficult hill to look up at and think we can just take it. But I'm seeing some good signs around the country. One of the states has passed legislation that requires the Bible to be taught in their public schools. I don't remember which state that was. It just came in front of my eyes here a few days ago.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember which state as well, but I do remember it.
But it's a good sign. And we're seeing people that pull their children out of the schools that have been corrupting the moral values and homeschooling. You're seeing parochial schools increase. We've got a school choice legislation that's passed in Iowa. Some other signs along the way, that would be Roe versus Wade has been overturned 2 years ago, just a week from back, a week behind us was the second anniversary. That's a good sign. You're seeing states that are defending life. We've got something like 15 or maybe 16 states that have a heartbeat law. And I wrote that for the national level and went to the states to promote it. And certainly wrote the bill in Iowa, which was just upheld by the Iowa Supreme Court here this week.
Well,
last week it would be now.
Right on.
So there's good signs, but we've got to rebuild at the local level. And I hear people say, I give up on Congress, I give up on the federal government, but I'm going to pay my attention to my family, my business, my job, my neighborhood, my church. And I think we have to do all of those things, but we can't ignore the national side of this thing because they can so destroy our culture and civilization. It's been so completely evident with Biden as president.
Yeah.
How much he's taken down.
Yeah.
So all of these pieces have to be pushed back again. And 7 or 8 years ago, I was warning that we were headed towards the Civil War. And I got attacked for that, of course, but a lot of other folks have been saying that recently.
Yeah.
And I'd say instead that if we don't turn this back in some of the way that I've described, we're headed towards a revolution. That's different. That means that it's not geographically defined as clearly as what our history is of the Civil War, but instead it is the clash of the two political parties that have been so polarized, but the ideology of the two political parties, not necessarily Republicans versus Democrats. That clash, I don't know what form it takes. I don't know what might galvanize it. I want to avoid it, but I just think of John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry that more or less, it set the stage for the attack on Fort Sumter in the Civil War. What happens in America? What could be our Bastille Day when things just get out of hand and people have had enough and throw caution to the wind? I hope it doesn't. I pray it doesn't. But I want this country put back together in our liberty. Thomas Jefferson let us know that liberty is worth some blood if you have to do that. We wouldn't have our country if they didn't believe otherwise.
Yeah, amazing. You remind me of my friend Bill Lockwood, a patriot. What's Bill Lockwood website? Patriotic Pulpit. And you look like him, you remind me, and you sound like him, and he's as smart as you are. So I'm going to have to hook you guys up so you can be on his show. I bet that would be amazing.
I'd be happy to do that.
I'll let him know. I got to know this. I want to know this. On your website, stevekeen.com, you say your early life shaping, says your early life shaping you for battle.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? How did it happen? How did it shape you for the battle?
Well, I think just a lot of the struggles that I had gone through. My father was a manager of state police radio stations. He schooled me in the rule of law. And not only did I have a good, solid Christian upbringing, but the Constitution and the Constitution and the Code of Iowa were often on the kitchen table after supper at night. And my dad would coach me through that. And he would explain it pretty simply this way. The law, this Constitution is a supreme law of the land.
Yeah.
Nothing overrules this Constitution. And so if you don't like the laws that we have, here's the Iowa Code of Iowa, part of it anyway, then you only have a few choices. One of them is you're going to abide by the law. And if you think that law is an unjust law, then you can go lobby your legislator to change it or run for office. Those are the things you can do.
Yeah.
Live under the law. Or set about changing them. So that was part of it. And then free enterprise and history. One of the things with the when he was in grade school, and he had a really tough upbringing. There's no question about that. And he was in grade school.
Hold that thought for me. Don't forget it. When I come back from the short break, we'll pick up right there. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Quick break. Representative Steve Keen is with me. Amazing way to start. Why History Month. First day of Why History Month. Back in a moment.
Okay.
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They're using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
American symbols, our history, our culture has been torn asunder by BLM and Antifa and the left and the people that sat there complacently and let it happen. When they go after a former slave owner or a Confederate general or officer, I see that as an affront to the deal that was made between General Grant and General Lee at Appomattox. But when they went after George Washington's statue and Thomas Jefferson's statue, they were after the destruction of Western civilization and after the destruction of the American civilization.
Amazing. That was my guest, Reverend Congressman Steve King at AFPAC back in 2021 when we spoke, and it was an amazing talk. Tell the folk, before we get back into the conversation, tell the people how to get to your website, whatever you want to put out there.
Okay, well, my website is just steveking.com. And I've got a Twitter account, a couple of those. I think that's it's Steve King IA, at Steve King IA for Iowa. So that's it. I don't do a lot with my website anymore, but if they're interested in picking up a book, then you can buy a book over my website, Walking Through the Fire, and My Fight for the Heart and Soul of America, that tells a lot of this narrative. And that's, I still got a few of those in my little warehouse left. So those that are ordered over my website at steveking.com, I personally autograph those and I ship them out with these loving hands right here. So
nice. So we were talking about how your early life, how it was sharpened for this battle. You were saying about talking about your father at the time. Go ahead.
Yes, and he, as I said, just refresh, he steeped me in the rule of law and respect for the Declaration and the Constitution, supreme law of the land, and abiding by the law. And every day he went to work, he was enforcing the law. But one of the things that I think he was required to memorize in grade school was the poem by Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's called The Concord Hymn. And most of you have heard it. But I just remembered parts of it from him telling me. But it starts out like this. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled, there the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world.
Amazing.
Now,
amazing.
I remember listening to him recite that poem to me. I don't know if I was on his knee or a little older than him. I must have been a little older. And I said, Dad, what happened to the bridge? Well, the poem actually tells you, let's see. I looked it up here just a second while we're in a break. It says and time the ruined bridge has swept down the dark stream which seaward creeps. Time the ruined bridge has swept. So the bridge was been washed away by the flood. And I asked my dad, did they rebuild that bridge? And he said, no, they haven't. I said, why not? He said they didn't need it anymore. Well, that always fascinated me. And some years ago, we made the trip over to Lexington and Concord, walked the greens at Lexington, and reviewed the battle that took place there, and then went on to Concord. And there they had rebuilt that bridge. And so it happened within the last, say, decade or so before I was there. But Dad never lived to see the bridge rebuilt. But I went to see it. That calling from my youth made me go there and stand there in awe of what happened when those embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard around the world. You can tell when I say that how much that means to me. But the history of this country, patriots, faithful Christian patriots, stood up and put their lives on the line, their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor over and over again at great cost. And they did all of that, and we can't just clean our country up by stop killing babies and cut down on crime, secure the border, get rid of the illegal drugs that are killing 100,000 young people every year. That's when Santa Anna invaded Texas. He had somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 troops. And we've got at least that number every night pouring into the United States of America to be met by the Biden welcome wagon. And it's a simple axiom, Jesse, is that when you bring someone in from a foreign culture, you're importing their culture with them.
Yeah.
And it's a big question to ask.
Yeah.
What do you bring to this country that has been so wholesome, so good, so law-abiding, so faithful? What do you bring from another culture that enhances this one? And if there's not a good answer to that, there's not a good reason to bring that person into America. We're doing it tens of millions of times, however.
That's amazing. I noticed that the Western world, which was founded by white men and built by white men with the grace of God, the help of God, right? And I noticed that there's a major attempt to get rid of white men like you, those who truly believe in God, those who are not afraid to speak up. They are trying daily to get rid of men like you. Are they doing that because they want to destroy the Western world? If they could get rid of the white Christian men, they would be able to bring the country down.
That's part of it. That is part of it. Going to the bigger picture of this, I mean, I've addressed the good versus evil part of this.
Right.
But also, let me see if you can see it. It's anyway, up behind me is a piece of the Berlin Wall. And I have that framed in here because it represents the single most significant historical event in my lifetime when that wall came down November 9th of 1989. And that was a division between the free world and the communist, atheist, Marxist world. There's a book over here in this shelf. And in that book, it tells about how the Cold Warriors got around a table at the Army Navy Club in Washington, D.C. after the Soviet Union imploded to celebrate their victory in the Cold War. And Nitze, who was his first name escapes him for the moment, was the father of the mutually assured destruction strategy. He said, hold it, don't be so quick to celebrate. The world, this is where I'm getting to, the world will not tolerate a lone superpower. No one likes the big kid on the block, and soon you will see a formation come up against us that will be comprised of China, Russia, a large Islamic country, and perhaps India. Now, look where we are today. That's been 1991, I believe, actually, that this took place. And here we are with that. So I'd say, okay, now look at the globe and all the pieces of history and culture that we can get into our heads.
Yeah.
We see Western civilization with the United States of America, the flagship for the fleet of Western civilization countries. If they can sink us, they can sink the whole fleet with ease. That's part of it. So we are Western civilization bonded together by the footprint of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then you've got the communist world, the Marxist world, the atheist world, the class envy haters, who kill hundreds of millions of people because they're only subjects of the state. That's the force that's lined up against us, bringing the Iran and the large Islamic states against us on that coalition. And the third piece of this thing is a significant one to know, and that's the World Economic Forum, the self-assigned gods of Davos, the masters of the universe who manipulate information and money and communications, and they believe they can manage the technology and control the capital to manage the world. And I know people like this, of course. So there's three forces out there, and the other two forces are trying to take down Western civilization, and we have to push back. If we lose, those two forces will fight each other, but we won't be around to see it.
Yeah.
And so that's, but we've got a legacy to celebrate coming into the 4th of July, and we need to pledge ourselves to those, pledge our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor to those values that were at the pen of Thomas Jefferson and in the minds of him and all those that signed it.
For people like me and other people who are smarter than I am and younger than I am, we don't understand the depths of what you just said, the real depths of it. And so we're not being taught that in the schools, and rarely are they teaching that in the homes now. And if the young people don't understand the depths of what you just said, how will things turn around if they can't understand what's going on and who's controlling who and why they're doing it? How will things turn around for America if we don't understand what's really going on and who's driving the truck?
It's so hard to penetrate. And, you know, I think about our history of the pastors that understood this during the Revolutionary War time. Had it not been for the pastors in the churches, they wouldn't have galvanized and mobilized the colonists to rise up against England. But they did. They stood there and they preached from the pulpit. Some of that's going on, but far less of it.
Yeah.
And there's intimidation factors, too. I have had a priest tell me, well, we're not going to have anything political going on here in this church because we'll lose our not-for-profit status. No church has ever lost a not-for-profit status because of a Johnson Amendment or executive order. I've forgotten which it was now. But no church has ever lost it, but yet they use that. And they run and hide. And then you see some pretty high-profile, I'll say, evangelical-type pastors that have gone over to the left side, and they use Scripture against those principles that it's written for. I want to see faithful families understand this, and we see some institutions that do it really well. Hillsdale is one of them, for example, that there's just not enough of it.
Right.
And I want to point out also that the Supreme Court has moved us in towards the right direction here. When they reversed the Chevron doctrine here just this past week, what is Monday, right? That was something where the executive branch of government could pretty much do what they wanted with the laws that were passed, interpret them the way they wanted, and the court would give deference to the decisions of the bureaucrats. Well, I wrote legislation to reverse that myself back about 10 years ago and actually passed it off of the floor of the House of Representatives, and I couldn't get them to take it up in the Senate. But the Supreme Court has now stepped in on that. So that's a step in the right direction. It's going to reduce the influence of government. We'll have a lot of fights because of it. It'll reduce the influence. We're saving more lives, which means we're putting more value in those lives. And the people that are the most aggressive on that are in the pro-life group. They're the ones that are pushing and penetrating this. So it's a long haul. It took us a long time to get here.
Yeah.
Whether or not we come out of it, it's not going to be quick. And if we end up with a Bastille Day or a Harper's Ferry or somebody fires on Fort Sumter, we're in trouble. And it's going to be ugly and it's going to be bloody. And no one knows how it comes out.
What a mess. Joel Fry, the TV, he black. He want to know, why did you leave Congress?
Well, that is a long story, but a lot of it is in my book. But to summarize it, to boil it down, it's this: that I always stood up for what I believe to be right.
Yeah.
And when leadership would come to me and say, "We really need your vote on this because someone needs it to get reelected, or we can raise money," or if they seldom actually told the truth on that part, I would say, "I got to believe in it before I can vote for it." And so the whip that would come around usually comes around to twist some arms. They didn't, after a little while, they didn't even try to twist my arm. They just, well, where are you on this? You for it or are you against it? And I always, so that was, and then when I saw them taking the money that some of which I had raised and donated to the party, taking that money to weigh in California, Kevin McCarthy did this. There was a conservative military veteran entering into a primary for Congress out there. And there was a homosexual guy who was married or civil union anyway, to his partner. And they're spending some of my money for glossy flyers that showed these two men's hands holding hands with their wedding rings on them and smiling. And I ain't in on that.
He's like, what the?
So they accused me of not being a team player. And I think I'm completely consistent with the Republican platform, and they are not.
Yeah.
But there are massive powers that wanted to get things done that I stood in the way of. They accused me of killing the amnesty bill in the Gang of Eights amnesty bill, where they had 68 votes for it in the Senate, 2013. Yeah, I did my best, and we succeeded. Nobody does anything alone, you know.
Right.
So they wanted open borders and cheap labor, and they wanted to kill babies, and they wanted to have same-sex people to get married. And I stood in the way of all those things that I and more, wanted to balance the budget. But so I added up the things that caused them to get to that place, and I thought that I understood it when I wrote my book, and all the things in my book are true, and it adds up logically. But I left that little bit hanging on what the who called the hit. Because what they did is they did a media ambush on me, and I knew it was going to come. It just didn't come from the place I expected it to. And so when the other side, I'll just say they right now, the people that called the hit, when they learned that I understood their plot, the very next day I had a primary opponent. That's nearly 2 years in advance of the next election. And then the following day, let's see, as soon as the day after they learned, late in the evening, they learned that I knew there was a plot afoot to unleash a nationwide media attack on me, and they were going to use anything that they could find to do it. And then the very next day, I had a primary opponent, and the day after that, the New York Times story hit with a misquote in it, and the whole country took that misquote and just amplified it like a, you know, just a full-out barrage. And there was nothing that I could say or do that had any impact at all after that, except it gave him more reason to attack me. And so Kevin McCarthy, before he ever said a word to me, told the press he was going to kick me off of all of my committees.
Wow.
No member of Congress has ever survived that when it happened by their own party. And then, so then the follow, this unfolded on a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday. And then Friday, about the 10th of January, 2019, and then on Sunday morning at 6:30 in the morning, Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff called my chief of staff and said, can we set up a meeting with your boss and my boss for Monday? So she set that up, and that's when he went on the airwaves to say that he was going to kick me off. He didn't say that day, but in the green room he was quoted as saying he was going to kick me off all my committees before we talked. Anyway, so that unfolded in that fashion, and then the next day, Monday we had the meeting, closed door, knock down, drag out. The next day they had a resolution on the floor that essentially condemned me for a statement that said white nationalism, white supremacy, white nationalism, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? They just put a comma in there, so like I was asking, that it presumed that I was saying that how did any of this language become offensive? I've always known what white supremacy or what it was, but Western civilization had become offensive, and I'd been talking about that, and in the press, I was quoted as saying those things in the press. They clammed it all together, and then when I say you needed a long hyphen there, not a comma, no one would listen to that at all. So I had to go down to the floor of Congress on Tuesday when they brought that resolution, and with, you know, people taking turns beating up on me,
yeah,
walk down there, take the podium, and turn around and face them all and tell them all exactly what was what. And I don't know if much of anything of that speech got quoted in the press, but all of that's in the record, and every bit of it's true. So, but now, Jesse, I made this a long story, but it's a lot shorter than the real story.
Yes.
Anyway, what I have learned, I understood this a little bit less than a year ago. All of these things that I said about open borders and abortion, all they added up. But the biggest reason was out of Davos and the World Economic Forum and some vulture capitalists here in the United States, the global warming folks put into the debt, let's see, the Inflation Reduction Act, which was a misnomer we know, that Biden signed a couple of years ago, it ends up being hundreds of billions of dollars of carbon credits. And these carbon credits are driven by the global warming ideology. But the largest mass of the purest form of CO2 known anywhere in the world comes out of our ethanol plants here, just dissipates into the air and helps us grow corn. But they set a price, $85 a metric ton. If you can capture that and sequester it, pump it down into the ground near the oil fields, that has driven these investors to try to set up a quasi-monopoly to build a pipeline to connect these 57 ethanol plants all through Iowa and some Nebraska, South Dakota, up to North Dakota. Well, all right, that's a massive thing, but what they can't do is build that pipeline without condemning private property, eminent domain, a solid constitutional principle in the Fifth Amendment. And this is some of the best farmland in the world. People lived on it, have lived on it for five and seven generations. And I knew and know they're not going to get out of the way and accept a check no matter what it is, because that's their life, their livelihood, and it's a legacy for their children. So we're doing battle to protect these property rights. This was, in a significant part, I was set up because they knew that if I'm a seated member of Congress representing the lion's share of all those ethanol plants, that I would be at every county seat town reminding them what the Constitution says to protect their property rights. Not only is this a boondoggle of economic and scientific proportions, but it destroys the right to property in the United States of America if they succeed. And that, if you destroy the right to property, then you've destroyed free enterprise itself. So it's another attack on Western civilization. I'm right in the middle of it here. They've been planning this since 2011. And I finally, my light came on last year sometime. I was a little embarrassed I didn't figure it out sooner.
What a mess. So are you on the short list for President Trump, VP?
No, I don't think so.
You should be.
I'll tell you, my choice would be Vivek Ramaswamy. And some of the trouble that Trump has had is that he would give orders and then his subordinates would just ignore him and they wouldn't carry it out. Yeah. Vivek would chase them down and come up with new ways to make sure that they follow through on that.
Amazing.
Brilliant, insightful leader.
Right on. I do want to say this because of time. You say we have an illegal alien invasion. And I noticed that illegals are making anchor babies. I want to know, will we ever end birthright citizenship here in America?
Well, I wish I could say yes to that. And I don't know, it gets harder. For every anchor baby born, it gets harder to end birthright citizenship. But if you look around the world, I don't know there's another country in the world that just gives citizenship because you happen to be on its real estate when you were born. I remember dealing with the Dominican Republic and the Haitians, and the Dominican Republic, they were in my office, the Dominicans, because they wanted a constitutional analysis for their constitution because the practice had begun of Haitians coming across the border to have babies and turning them into Dominican citizens. And they had finally ended up with a decision in the Dominican Republic Supreme Court that automatic citizenship was unconstitutional. And so that practice was, as I understand it, at least stopped in the Dominican Republic. Well, if they can do that in the Dominican Republic, and now then, let's see, the people on the other side, they'll say, well, we have a Supreme Court decision, Kim Wong Ark, he was of Chinese descent, and that case is not on point. This is a practice that has begun, and it just grew and grew and grew. But it's not law, it's not constitutional, it's a practice. And a president can begin to reverse this, but it'd be a long, hard slog to do it, and it would be litigated in the Supreme Court. And we really secure the border, and I hear Trump say deport everyone, every illegal. I'm for that, too. Because,
me too.
Yeah, if you make exceptions, then what you're doing is you're subordinating the rule of law to the exception. That's how it works.
Tell the folks, we're running out of time here. Tell the folks how to get your book, your website, or whatever you want to get real fast.
Yes, just go to my website, steveking.com, and click the button, and that'll place the order there, and I will get that. It'll show up in my email, and I'll sit at this desk, and I'll autograph that book and ship it off.
Thank you so much. You made my day. Amazing.
And mine. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Back in a moment, folks. Two more hours to go. Representative Steve King. Back in a moment.
Tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, and woman over children. So get from race to responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND.
and donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Female Monday, July 1st, 2024 AD. Stay tuned for hour two. JLP will be right back. The lines are full, I do believe. Oh, no, one line open, guys. One line open. You can call in right now to get on hold, to get on air with JLP. And happy White History Month, everybody. Nice. So there's a whole lot of mess going on in the world. Crooked Joe's so-called family wants him to stay in the race. Voters are iffy at best about that idea. In the Supreme Court, Trump's immunity and the social media political censorship laws in Florida and Texas are in the Supreme Court. They're going to make some decisions if they haven't already today, I guess, supposedly. On Friday, the Supreme Court said the DOJ overstepped in charging January 6ers with obstruction of an official proceeding. Nice. So they're going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit. Hurricane Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, a woman's name, yes, is going to slam into the Caribbean if it hasn't already. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, Crooked Joe Biden's so-called family, maybe his wife, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, is encouraging him to stay in the 2024 race, offering him their unequivocal support during a family gathering at Camp David on Sunday, according to two Biden advisors. Meeting came as Crooked Joe and his campaign are confronting the avalanche of calls for the president to drop out of the race after his dismal performance during last week's CNN presidential debate. Sources say the families also discussed whether any of Biden's top advisors should be fired and whether the campaign staffing changes should be made. A new CBS/YouGov poll found 72% of registered voters now believe Biden does not have the mental and cognitive health to serve as president, compared to 28% of voters who said he should stay in the race. There's always a third of the people are just total complete suckers. Anyway, so-called Supreme Court expected to hand down final opinions of the term today, resolving the question of whether Trump, our greatest president, may claim immunity from federal election subversion charges. Give me a break. Trump and his team have raised that without at least some form of presidential immunity, future presidents would over time be subject to politically motivated prosecutions, as we see today with Trump, the attack on Trump. Court's also going to decide two cases at the intersection of the First Amendment and social media. At issue are laws enacted in Florida and Texas aimed at stopping social media giants like Facebook and X, Twitter used to be, from throttling conservative views, which they've been doing for a long time. The state laws ban online platforms in Florida and Texas from removing or demoting posts that express opinions such as political content. Nice. By the way, the Supreme Court ruled that the Justice Department, more like Injustice Department, overstepped by charging hundreds of people who so-called rioted at the U.S. Capitol or just demonstrated at the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021, with obstruction of an official proceeding in a decision that could force prosecutors to reopen some of those cases that happened on Friday. And Hurricane Beryl, a powerful Cat 3, Category 3 storm, on track to slam into the Caribbean, some of you guys call it Caribbean, today, with a life-threatening storm surge and violent winds. The hurricane's core is most at risk of striking Grenada, St. Vincent, or the Grenadines, so show forecasts. Beryl's arrival marks an exceptionally early and likely devastating start to the Atlantic hurricane season. It reached Category 4 strength on Sunday, making it the earliest storm of such strength on record in the Atlantic Ocean and the only Category 4 storm ever recorded in the month of June. The storm reduced slightly to Category 3 earlier today. Several communities are bracing for widespread damage and power outages. I'll tell you in the next hour about plane safety, the France election, and some other mess going on in the world. Steve Bannon beginning a prison sentence. But I'm James Hake.
A major announcement right now. So the whole month is White History Month from now on. Happy White History Month.
It's White History Month. I'm gonna celebrate with my friends. It's White History Month. So be sure to tell everyone that we'll always be different months to celebrate. This month's gonna be White History.
Amazing! Happy White History Month. July is White History Month. July just feel white.
Amazing.
Celebrating 7 years right now. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. We're also uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse, no biblical question right now. One will come, but I don't have it now. If you're busy traveling, a lot of people are traveling this year. It's amazing. I was watching the local news, and they were talking about the number of people who are flying to different locations right now, and it's up from a while now. So a lot of people are flying. I know a lot of people are traveling to celebrate 4th of July with their family. So if you're traveling and you just can't sit and watch the show, you can listen to it on your iPhone or iPad. And then when you get to your destination, you can podcast. Even before then, you can podcast the show. So you can be listening on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. Anywhere in the world, because we are heard around the world by everybody and their mama. And if you're black, everybody, they mama. If you're white, everyone, everybody, and their mama. To donate, and we're going to get to your super chats and phone calls right now. To donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. And so we're celebrating our 7th year of the White History Month. And as we go through this month, if you have some amazing stories to tell about White History Month, call us. 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. We're going to celebrate. We're going to appreciate America. we're not going to forget the greatness of this country. In spite of the people who hate America, we're going to keep it going. Come hell or high water. So why history is an opportunity to tell the real history of this country, to speak about, to talk about, to remember, to reflect on the real history that made this country great. And if you missed the first hour, you gotta, you have no other choice but to podcast Representative Steve King. I had him on. It was amazing. It was more than a notion to help start off, kick off the 7th year of White History Month.
Amazing.
It was an amazing discussion. I wish, really, we could have gone on the whole 3 hours. I didn't get to nearly what I wanted to ask him about. But next time, one step at a time. Be anxious for nothing. It is also Monday. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. And every Monday, and we take all call. But the ladies, when they call in on Mondays, we take them right away. Because every Monday is Female Monday.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
I would too. A problem
with
that.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
Amazing. Female Monday, 888-77-5373-888-77-JESSE. So, hey, you still want me to play that? I'm listening for hate right now. I can't hear. Oh, okay. The next hour. Amazing. Let me go to the busy phones and get to your super chats and happy 4th of July. By the way, we're not going to have a men's forum this month. What the? We missed last month because I had eye surgery. My eye's doing better. Thanks for asking. I feel the stitches in my eyeball. Remember they took the eyeball out and put some stitches? What a mess! And they're healing and I can feel them in my eye. As your eyes healing. But it's not like a painful feeling at all. It's like I got dirt in my eye or something. Dust or something like that. So it's not painful. What the? So it's healing. Thanks for asking. I do appreciate it. Let me go to first-time caller Charles out of Pennsylvania. Charles, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well, Charles. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
So I just wanted to call. My question, my main question was, how do you deal with anger? Because I've been watching your show for probably around several years now, and I'm 28, so I've just been, I've been a fan. I do enjoy your show. I enjoyed a lot of what you say and what you stand for. I really do appreciate you saying and speaking out on a lot of different things. Even if it's not everything, you know, that if we don't agree on everything, I just appreciate a lot of what you stand out about and stand for the truth and the truth of God and Christ. And so thank you for that. But I just,
You're welcome.
Again, my main question was just how do you deal with anger? Because I've been dealing with that for a pretty long time. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of anger, and then I started to see people and use it as a defense mechanism, and I started getting angry. And then even just recently, like, you know, I don't know. It gets confusing because, you know, how do you use anger as a way? Like, I don't know. I don't want to be angry, but how do I have self-defense? Because I almost got assaulted here in Philadelphia. I almost got into a fight. Well, I pretty much did. I mean, it was like he was trying to get into a fight with me. But I was getting angry with him, and I don't, you know, and then he was the first one to throw, like, tried to slap me. And I started throwing punches back, and then it just kind of got out of hand or whatever. But, you know, it calmed down. But actually it didn't. No, he took out a knife on me, and then, but I was okay after that, long story short. So what I'm trying to say is, like, I want to know you seem to be the same person as you are on the show as you would be off of the show. I mean, I don't know you off the show, but how do you seem to deal with it on the show really well with guests and just very, very well. So how can I deal with the anger instead of, you know, and kind of differentiate between anger and self-defense?
Number one, anger is not a self-defense. You need to know that. Mm-hmm. Anger is your enemy. Anger is evil. Anger set you up to be defeated in all area of life because anger is evil. There's no power in anger. There's no love in anger. There's no insight in anger. It's only darkness. And so it's mm-hmm. a spirit of evil, and you must stop identifying with it and let it go. And you let it go by realizing that you are wrong for being angry. There's never, ever, 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 but never, ever, 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 but never a reason to be angry. Anger is your enemy. It's not of God, and it's not of you. So you got to let it go by forgiving. And then once you let it go, real power, which is the power of love, the power of God, the power of insight, the power of the light, will step in, and it will take over and guide you in all situations. Greater is the power that comes from love than it is from anger. Anger has no power. So you got to mm-hmm. drop it. You got to let it go by forgiving your mother and your father so God can forgive you and take it away from you.
Amen. I really believe that.
Have you heard me say? Have you heard me say, "Forgive your parents"?
Yeah, definitely. I've that's been like something that over the years that when I was watching your show,
and have you done it?
Like, I have not fully done it. I feel like I want to say I have, but I haven't.
So you heard me say all these years, you must forgive so you can overcome the spirit, because human beings are possessed. And they are possessed with the evil, the spirits of anger, which is the nature of the devil, the nature of the devil in the mind and in the body, the emotion and all that. You've heard me say the way out is that you have to see that you're wrong and go and forgive so you can be forgiven. Why haven't you done it?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I'm
no, that was a good question. Know, why haven't you done
it? Yeah, good. Yeah, that's how I should put it. That's a very good question, and I ask myself that. You know, I think the main thing is that I just, again, I'm struggling with the ability to, you know, not be angry. And
You can't struggle with anger. It is a spirit. The more you struggle, the more life you give it.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't you gone and forgiven?
There have been times where I've said, you know, my father came to me and he's been so sorry about things, and he's been asking for forgiveness, and I said, Dad, I forgive you, and I have forgiven him at that time, but at the moment, you know, that was just, it seemed like at the moment, but then there were many times, like, just after that, where I went back to being upset and angry and not forgiving him.
But so why haven't you gone and forgiven your father and your mother?
I think it's just because of my stubbornness.
So you really
very stubborn.
So you're really not ready to overcome your hell? You love your misery.
That's a great way to put it, I guess. But I would say that I do. I'm starting to really feel like I'm ready to. I'm ready to forgive, and I want to. I don't want to be angry anymore. Like it really kind of makes me want to like kind of tear up, you know, because I really don't want to be like that anymore. And I really.
But you don't have to live with that if you were to go and forgive. If you truly, truly didn't want to live with that anymore, you would have gone and forgiven. There's no other way out of your misery except through hell. You got to forgive, shaking in your boots, and go through this hell consciously so you can be free of it.
So Jesse, can I ask you how can I forgive? How can I do that and make it so that I'm not like angry and I can forgive and that be like the almost like the final say in what I do with
by seeing you know by getting to know yourself, pay attention to you, and see that you have that anger and know that anger is evil, that you're wrong for being angry, and once you know that, then you go and forgive. And the father was. What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm at a hospital right now, so.
I thought you were blowing your nose. What the?
No,
you got
just a bathroom in the background.
You got to see and know that you're wrong for being angry, because anger is hatred. Hatred is playing God, and as long as you hold on to that, you will be your own God, which is nothing but destruction. And then you go and forgive your mother for recreating you in her image, because that spirit of anger came from your mother. And when you were a kid, as you've heard me say, and you're just not going to be free. And I promise you, I don't care what anyone says, if you really want to be free from it, you can. But you got to realize you're wrong for being that way, for being angry.
And I've heard you say that. Like I said, I've been a fan for quite a while, probably since like around 2016. So,
but you got to go and forgive your mama though, and your daddy.
How do I? I mean, I don't know. I don't mean this like sound redundant, but how can I specifically? Like, is there something I can say? Like, I know what I got to mean it, but like, how and like with forgiving them. Do I just say, I forgive you? Because I've said that a lot. With my mom, I haven't really, though. So that's a good point.
You haven't said it to your mother at all?
I've said it a couple of times, like two times probably. And she said, I didn't ask for your forgiveness. Like, she was kind of mad.
And you should have told her, I didn't need you to ask for it. I'm telling you, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. But listen, you go and once you truly see that you're wrong for judging your parents or anyone, and you go and forgive them, God will forgive you. Mother, I'm sorry for resenting you. And if she asks why, I'm not. It's up to her. But you turned me away from my father. You recreated me in your image. You imposed your will on me, whatever it might be. And because your mother couldn't help herself, man, it was done to her. All mothers do that to the children. That's why all must be born again of the Father. And you got to just go and face her. And if she get mad, that's on her. Don't respond to her anger. If she try to be smart, your dad, I need to be forgiving you. You let her say whatever she want, you forgive her. And the same with your father. And then the spirit of anger will be taken away from you. And eventually, your nature will change, and the spirit of depression, suicidal thoughts, loneliness, worry, revenge, looking for love, needing friends, needing family, needing children will all disappear. But you got to let the spirit of the Father work on your behalf and he can't work on your behalf if you're unwilling to forgive. You are your problem. Nobody else is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You got to face your mama.
I was in and out living at her house till I was like, 26. I moved out at 26. It's a pretty late time to move out, but I have like physical problems and stuff, and I've had a lot of trauma, you would say. So I was in and out of her house. I caused her to have a living hell.
No, you didn't. You gave her the hell that she gave you.
Yeah. Well, then I guess that's what exactly I've been doing.
You became like your mother. You gave her the hell that she gave you. You couldn't help yourself.
Yeah, and I guess that's how I should see it because that's what I did.
You became like who you hated.
Mm-hmm. That's what exactly I did. And then so I was staying, and I started, using her, like her kindness, using her, just her financially. I was using her, and then I.
She set you up for that. You had no other choice.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. And I got so angry at a situation that happened. It was a long story, but I'll just say it was a situation that happened that. I was very angry at my parents. That was the most angry I ever was at my parents. And I moved out, had a very toxic relationship. And it's not that I don't love the person that I was with.
You don't love the person you're with. You have no love.
Yeah. I didn't have any love. And I was really, and we were doing a lot of drugs and stuff, and I wanted to be able to just change my life that whole time. I almost died a couple times in that life. And I don't want to live that life. I'm at this point where I've been at this hospital right now, like I said, and I want to completely change. I have been feeling like this is my time to change. And God has given me an opportunity. You know, this past week has been an opportunity to change my life and to give it to God and to, be able to go into this kind of place. There's like a residential place that I need to go to. So anyways, I don't mean to keep rambling on.
Let me just say this to you because of time and I got to run.
You need to go forgive
your parents. Are you doing the silent prayer? No.
I meditated.
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
No, not exactly.
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
No.
If you really want out of the hell that you're living in, you're going to have to do the prayer, be still, and let the truth take over. You must go and forgive. Otherwise, you don't want to drop your body in the hell condition that you're in now. There's no way out once you die like that. You got to work on you, Charles.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do the silent prayer.
Thank you so much.
Do the silent prayer. Don't judge yourself. As you should not be judging others, but don't judge yourself. You couldn't see. Now you want to see. You're ready. Now it's time to get busy.
Amen. I really believe that, Jesse. And thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
All right.
And I'll get on it. I really appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you for all your work and keep it up.
I wish you well, man.
Thank you. You too, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Rob, a first-time caller out of Sweet Home, Alabama. Rob, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Rob going once. Rob going twice. Rob go. 888-775-3773. That's one line open now. Super chat.
Super chat.
Where is your White Houston shirt?
It's at home. I figured I didn't want to be like twins with all the rest of you guys.
It's White Houston, but everybody twin this month.
Oh, we called each other. So I figured I would
everybody
wear a
twins this month. We're celebrating. What's that?
It's showing the side view still, I think.
Why?
Just a second. Finger up.
Oh. We're celebrating. Come to. Oh, we got it. White Houston month. Not Jesse Pugh's month.
JLP for president 2024.
That's right.
Maybe the Democrats can replace Biden with you.
That'll work.
Yeah. Anyway, Animus gave a Streamlabs donation. Biblical question from last week.
Oh, okay. What was it?
Why is evil able to work with you?
Why is evil able to work with you from last week?
Animus says, I have a deal with the devil, and it goes like this. I can hate my mother, and Satan gets my soul. I have all these reasons, like she turned me against my father and made me into her husband and messed up my childhood. That's evil in me, says Animus.
Amazing. Thank you. Interesting.
Yeah.
And we discussed that yesterday in fellowship. If you were not there, either online or present there, you could see the podcast, watch the podcast by going to rebuildingtheman.com/fellowship. Rebuildingtheman.com/fellowship.
No.
Not me.
Slash church.
Slash church. It's called fellowship, though, but slash church. Rebuildingtheman.com/church. Okay.
On Cash App, Bond JLP Cash App, S word chocolate says regarding Hake, S word chocolate. S, as in Sam.
Nice. I don't understand it, but okay.
Last week he said, I attributed a Cash App donation to S-word chocolate, and I explained what I mentioned with a real word that he put in.
Right.
And it was slightly off color. So he gave another donation, apparently amused at my saying S-word chocolate.
Right on. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, S-word chocolate.
Absolutely.
Mo Betta. Bought 15 coffees. Very generous. Jesse and experts, I need to put some coffee in the offering basket for Friday's show. The split-screen diagnosis of the debate, Biden-Trump debate, was amazing. He said, I cannot rock that green athletic polo shirt like you. Not my style, but it looks good on you. As a fellow old guy, almost 48, and one of your flock since 2018, an OG D-Live crew, original. I make sure to focus on my health and get ripped.
Right on.
Nice. Thank you, Mo Betta.
Thank you.
He said all people should do the same.
Absolutely. I agree.
Thank you, Mo Betta.
Thank
By
you,
the
Mo
way,
Betta.
Keep them pithy. I know you're very generous, but keep them pithy, Mo Betta. He bought another 5 coffees, Mo Betta did, and he's speculating about Jamil, the caller from Friday's show, who is very upset and dramatic. I don't remember the content of his call.
Me either.
But we don't get into speculation. Thank you, Mo Betta. Appreciate
right.
it, man.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
It's Zay Zay over on Instagram during the live church service. We stream live on Rebuilding the Man Instagram. Jesse, why would you wait until the wedding night to know a woman's sexual history? That's risky business.
I don't even understand that statement. Sex is just sex. What's risky about that?
I mean, hopefully she doesn't have diseases or something like that. But that's, I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
It would make sense.
But he's not talking about, oh, I hope she doesn't have a disease.
Oh, he says it's risky business.
But you can ask before. If you think she got a disease, you'll find out before marriage.
True. Yeah, and you're supposed to get to know her without that stuff.
Right.
Apart from it. You get that. You get a sense of how people are. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Esoteric says the name of that song Anchor Baby was singing on that you mentioned that he was singing Sunday is Sam Cooke. Ain't That Good News?
My baby is coming home tomorrow. ain't that good news? Nick Girlfriend is coming back today. My baby is coming back today. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that news? I got an email just the other day. She said she's sorry. She walked away.
Sam Cooke is white history.
My baby is coming home today. Ain't that good news? Thank you. Back in a moment. Thanks to God. It is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. It's White History Month. It is July, and July just feels white.
Amazing!
You can get your shirts at rebuildingdemand.com/store. Your White History Month shirt /store or July feels. We don't have that anymore to show. Oh, there we go. JulyFeelsWhite.com. JulyFeelsWhite.com. Get your Why, here's to my T-shirt. Your T-shirt or shirts? More than one. All right? We're going to celebrate come hell or high water. Why, here's to my. We got to remember. Why, here's to my. We got to remember the greatness of the country. We can't forget. Let's not forget. Let's not forget the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the white man who founded it and created the greatest country on this side of heaven. And the enemies of God and of those white men who created this country with the help of God want you to forget. They want to act like everybody built America. Everybody did not build America. And they did not. They want to take down the statues and monuments and give you false statues and monuments. They want you to forget. And once you forget, it's over. Look at the young people that don't know the Constitution. Or the Declaration of Independence, or Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They don't know about it. What do you think going to happen? They're looking around. They see what the old not America. And that's what they're going to remember. We're not having a men's forum this Friday, this Thursday. It is the 4th of July. This Thursday. So, it ain't my fault it fell on the first Thursday of the month. What the? Happy 4th of July, though, to everyone. And be safe out there. Be careful and be safe. You're in a dangerous world now. But you can be safe in this world by being alert, being aware. Let's finish the Super Chat.
Super Chats.
Prep Ham Paul says, LOL, lots of laughs. This is Church and JLP Comedy Hour. Laughing face with tears coming out.
Oh, from yesterday?
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
He's a Rumble supporter monthly on Jesse Lee Peterson.
You got to know how to Rumble. Thank you.
Indeed. Bobby donated on Cash App. Very generous.
Thank you, Bobby.
Saying, great Sunday fellowship.
Yesterday fellowship was a doozy. It was absolutely a doozy. And if you were not there or you didn't watch it live, you can podcast. RebuildingTheMan.com/church. Amazing. Thank you.
Bobby also says, keep up the great work. Or keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bobby. And thanks for your support to keep it up. I appreciate it.
Caesar, also a generous tip on Bond JLP Cash App.
Thank you.
My donation for the fellowship.
Right on. Thank you.
It's me, Xenia, gave a Rumble rant saying, happy White History Month, strong white arm emoji, Christian cross emoji, American flag.
July feels white. Thank you. 7 years. Can you believe it? Yes, Jesse, I believe it. I believe that somewhere in the darkest hour, a flower grows. Better song. I believe.
No, but it sounds great.
So you don't know that song, for real?
That's correct. I do not.
I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a flower grows. I believe. You remember that song, Hassan?
No, I don't think so. Is Marvin Gaye?
No. What the? It's Marvin Gaye. What the?
What the?
How about Guantanamo? Guantanamo? You're so young, say Sombrero. Thank you.
Frankie Lane?
Yes.
Frankie Lane?
Sing that song?
Maybe.
I believe.
Supposedly by Mahalia Jackson?
Wait. Mahalia Jackson?
Mahalia Jackson.
No, Mahalia. And not Marvin Gaye.
Frankie Lane. Okay, anyway, we got to keep it moving.
Yeah, I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a flower grows. Every time I hear... That's it.
Anyway, I better stop it because we don't want to get copyright.
Come on, man.
Right.
Thank you.
Stop it.
Thank you, JLP.
Thank you.
Okay. Popcorn's Thump Keg says, Jesse, I saw an interview you did around 2015. Someone tried to analogize the issues of gay people with blacks. You often tell people not to associate black people with the LGB lifestyle conversation.
Because black is just a color.
Yeah.
What the?
You said, direct quote, black people were discriminated against simply because they were black. My question is, how is discriminating against someone because they're black not racial discrimination, i.e. racism?
Because it's hatred. Not because of racism. Racism doesn't exist. You're either on the side of evil or you've gone on the side of good. And so that's why. And that's the point I was trying to make. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Link bought 3 coffees. Birthday is later this month. So glad to be born in White History Month. Also, people say things that are not always black and white. People say things are not always black and white. I think Satan dwells in the gray area. Thoughts?
Absolutely. It is black or white. It's either right or wrong. It's very simple, right or wrong or not. And your birthday is in July. What an amazing time to be born. You need to be thanking your parents for that.
Nice.
Amazing time. But thank you.
Peter bought 5 coffees. Thanks for celebrating White History Month, because we all know that once you go black, you're a single mother. Laughing face, just kidding. Keep up the amazing work.
Oh, God. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Brian bought a coffee. Happy White History Month, everybody. Happy Canada Day, Nick. Shout out to Haig, he white. Shout out to Joe L, he black. Shout out to Hassan, he's a terrorist. Laughing face emoji.
Amazing, thank you.
Not a victim, but a
nice.
India will never ally with China. Pakistan will, and Japan will ally with India and the United States.
And so India don't like China?
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Fabriettes on Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E.
Odyssey.com/@
Jesse Lee Peterson. He says, Happy White History Month, y'all.
Thank you. Amazing.
Mo Betta bought 20 coffees. Very generous. And he talks about the African woman who spoke in church. Very.
What African woman?
The woman who was from Africa and asked that question about.
Oh, man, the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
Nice.
How are you evil if it's not you, but it's evil in you? But how do you say you're evil?
Yes.
She asked that question.
Had a very interesting sketch with her after the fellowship as well.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's cool. She seems cool.
She's really, 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 I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe. Because she attended Women's Forum. She showed up for the Sunday meetings. She's doing the prayer. So she really, really, really want that straight and narrow path. I wish her well.
Nice. He does some speculation. We'll skip that part. But he did say, I worked some years on anti-terrorism in Europe.
Oh, is she anti-terrorist?
No, this Mo Betta. He's just talking about stuff that he did in the past.
Oh.
He said he did operations in various places around the world. It's wild.
Thank you.
Cool, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it through.
Thank you, Mo Betta.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Soul Conscious, 5 coffees. Jesse, amazing church and happy white history. Are women partly to blame that men are not asking them on dates? I find that too many of them are acting masculine. Total turnoff.
You definitely don't want a masculine woman, for sure. It's just double trouble. It ain't gonna work. But women are not to blame for a man's weakness. Every human being, adult human being, and I promise you this, is responsible for their own issue. You're responsible for getting out of the mess that you're in. You didn't create the mess, but you got into it, and one mess led to another mess. So you did create it after a while, and you're responsible for getting it out. So you can't blame a woman because you have fear, but you don't want a masculine woman, for sure. Amazing. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all. I do appreciate it. Let me go to Chase out of Oregon. Chase, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Okay, amazing. I just wanted to ask you a quick question about the silent prayer.
Yes.
The silent prayer and forgiveness.
Okay.
A few months ago, I went and forgave my mother, right, which went great. It went very well.
What did she say?
she said that she understood why I was forgiving her. She admitted that, you know, the things that she did was wrong. She even saw for herself that she needs to go and forgive her own father. So
that's amazing. That's nice. Most mothers won't forgive. My mother most mothers won't apologize, admit that they were wrong for doing that. My mother, I was stunned. Well, not stunned, but I was surprised. My mother said that she was sorry as well. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I'd done that to you. I'm wrong about that. I'm so sorry. And then she told me about her life and exactly what she imposed on me had happened to her as well.
Exactly. That's exactly how our conversation went. Like you said, I was shaking in my boots, but it was, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
It needed to happen. But I wanted to ask you, I've been doing the silent prayer every morning and every night ever since. It's been about, 4 or 5 months since I've done that. And it seems like, and I don't know if people have called you in about this before in the past, but it seems like all of the issues that I was trying to get away from by forgiving and doing the silent prayer have came back even harder. For example, let's say I had a very lustful nature in the past, and you know, maybe or maybe not, I was a slut maker, right?
Yes.
Ever since I've gone and forgiven, my thoughts have gotten louder, and that urge and all of my issues, or well, not my issues, but you understand, those spirits, right?
Right.
Have been coming back even stronger, and I've been trying to ignore it, but there's been a few times where I've given in, and I know I don't need to go back and forgive again, because you said that a lot.
Right.
Like, you know, but I'm just curious, like, is there something wrong, or is there, do I just need to wait it out? Like, what's happening?
The beauty of that is that you're now seeing all this stuff that you've been not seeing all your life. You're now seeing it. So all you have to do, that's why the silent prayer is so important. You got to stay present of it. You got to be aware of it. And all you got to do is see all these thoughts coming at you and these desires are coming and not call them you and just watch them. Now that you can see, seeing is what destroying the darkness that's been ruling over you for so long, because you could not see. You were blind and could not see. So you're blessed that you can see it. That's all you need to do.
Okay.
And don't try to avoid not seeing it. Just watch it and watch it and feel the pain and feel the pain and watch it and watch it and feel the pain and feel the pain and go all the way through the fire by watching it. And on the other side is where your freedom is.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah, you do want to see it. You want to see it so that you can overcome the mess that you have made of your life, the hell you've been in. And the reason you were in the hell, you couldn't see that you were in hell, you were calling it heaven. You were calling it heaven.
Amazing.
Well, amazing. So you're blessed, man. You're now seeing what you couldn't see before.
Right. That makes sense.
And so if you find yourself in your old nature falling into some of that stuff sometime, don't judge it. Try not to, of course. Try to let it pass. But let's say you get so strong and you find yourself, don't judge it. It's not you. Don't judge it. It's not you. Don't call it you. It's not you. So you can stop identifying with the spirits of evil. Don't call it you. It's not you.
Okay. Can I ask you one last quick question?
Yes.
So on at church yesterday, you know, the topic of conversation was seemed to be a lot about like dating and like sex and stuff like that. Moving forward, now that I'm like aware of my nature, is it beta of me to be, not, I guess, for lack of a better word, afraid of women? Because now that I see the hell in me, I almost don't want to even associate with women, because I don't want to either add more hell to my life or add more hell to their life. Like, I've avoided dating for a long time because I want to, I don't want to continue the cycle. And so now, you know, when women get around me, or if I'm, you know, if there's a woman who's showing interest, I tend to create distance, or like intentionally get away, because you know, I now that I see the hell in me, I feel like I don't want to make other people's lives worse. You know what I mean? So does that make sense?
It does. Neither avoid dating or don't look for dating. You only seek the kingdom of God as you're doing. Keep your eyes on you, and just so you can overcome the darkness, and the spirit of the light will guide you in all things. And so if you do go out and hang out with a woman, you're going to, if you stay in the light, you stay conscious, you stay present, you're going to deal with her perfectly. You will have self-control. You will be in control. You will be the author of your life, and you will not fall to temptation, because you will be able to see. But don't don't look for it. You only stay with the light, looking for the light. You stay with the light. But if you got to learn, you got to deal with people, and the way to deal with them is in the light, so you're not controlled by them or anything inside of you. So don't look for it and don't try to avoid it.
Okay, that makes sense. Is it normal in like for people who are just starting to wake up to still kind of make mistakes in the beginning? Like, I tend to beat myself up like quite badly when I make mistakes. Is that normal as you're starting to wake up to maybe trip up from time to time?
Yeah, definitely ain't abnormal, but it's only because you're waking up now and you're seeing. So don't beat yourself up because there is no self. When you say you beat it, who are you beating up?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
So why do you say you're beating up yourself?
There's an expectation that I have that, you know, I should, you know, have these sorts of issues in my life figured out. I should take responsibility. All the stuff you hear online and see in like AA groups and stuff.
But get rid of all expectation.
Okay.
You don't want to live a life from this day forward. Have no expectation for anything toward anyone or yourself. Get rid of expectation. Just simply live your life moment by moment by moment, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
So describe the person that you're beating up.
Well, now that I've woken up, the person that I'm beating up, I've seen as evil. You know, now that I've seen the evil in me, the person that I'm beating up is... I don't know. It's hard to describe, honestly.
So how do you say you beat yourself up? Who is the self?
I guess it's the devil, really, because it's a conversation that I'm having in my head.
Absolutely.
With the devil.
He wants you to think that you are beating yourself up because he wants you to blame yourself for what he's doing through you. It's not you at all, so there's nothing to feel guilty about. And there's no self to beat up because it's all an illusion. You don't even know who you are at this point. You have no clue. But when this false self disappears, if you stay with it, the real you will appear. But right now you have not one iota, zero of a clue who you are, period.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, thank you. I'm gonna smoke on it and stay with the prayer and try to see all of this for myself.
All you need to see, and all you need to see is the false self, the illusion of the thoughts. All thoughts are all lies, all the time. If you see through those illusions by being aware of them, you're gonna be fine. Just stay with it.
Amazing.
Are you doing a silent prayer every morning, every night?
Every morning, every night. And if my thoughts get really loud, I'll do it during the day too. Like, if you know.
And you should.
I feel like, yeah, go ahead.
No, finish your point.
I was just going to say, if I feel like the devil's getting busy, I'll take a moment and come back to my body.
Nice. You should do that anyway, even if the devil is not loud. You practice being present because you want to get to a point, and you will if you stay with it. You'll live a life of presence instead of unconsciousness. You will live in the present instead of the illusion of the past or the future.
Amazing. Well, hey, I hear the music, so thank you so much, Jesse.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. 888-775-3773. One more hour to go. Happy White History Month. Hake is coming in with hate news, not the fake news. When I come back, your phone calls. Back in a moment.
my question. I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer. You know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and His love. It's going to be amazing.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is White History Month, Female Monday, July 1st, AD 2024. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls in the third hour, in the final hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show today. But first, Hake News, not fake news. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, you can catch the HakeReport.com. That's my show, live Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's noon to 2 Eastern time, 11 to 1 Central time. Nice. And then, of course, Joelle Friday TV and American Anchor Baby after that. Plane safety. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports Boeing has agreed to buy Spirit AeroSystems, one of the major suppliers and manufacturing partners of Boeing, as part of the aircraft maker's plan to overhaul their badly damaged safety reputation. Spirit AeroSystems, not to be confused with Spirit Airlines, I'm presuming, makes major parts of several Boeing models, including fuselages for the 737 MAX, which remains under scrutiny for numerous safety flaws that have come to light. Meanwhile, the Injustice Department, misnomered Justice Department, is nearing an agreement with Boeing that would include a corporate monitor and a fine in exchange for a guilty plea to criminal charges, according to lawyers representing families of the victims of two fatal 737 MAX crashes, who rebuked the offer as a sweetheart deal. The families of the victims rebuked that sweetheart deal. What a mess, huh? And France, an update on the France election. Marine Le Pen's far right, according to Commie Nonsense Network, National Rally Party has taken the lead in the first round of France's parliamentary elections, so showed projections on Sunday. President Emmanuel Macron's party slumped to third place, while the RN, National Rally Party, is on track to win the most seats in the National Assembly. It may fall short of the 289 seats required for an absolute majority, suggesting France may be heading for a hung parliament and more political uncertainty. Emmanuel Macron has pledged to see out the remainder of his final presidential term, which runs until 2027, but he now faces the prospect of having to appoint a prime minister from the opposition party in a rare arrangement known as cohabitation. Those French, what a mess. It seems like every white country is quite divided, huh? Quite divided. Happening later, Steve Bannon is set to begin his prison sentence. Steve Bannon, former Donald Trump White House strategist, formerly of Breitbart, by the way, he is set to reopen a report to a federal prison. Not reopen. Report to a federal prison in Connecticut. Today, to begin a four-month sentence, he may already have shown up to do that, for defying a congressional subpoena. The so-called Supreme Court on Friday denied a long-shot effort by Steve Bannon to avoid reporting to prison while he challenges his conviction before the Federal Appeals Court in Washington, D.C. What a mess. Another day in white history, right? Simone Biles is qualified for a third Olympics. Third Olympics. Congratulations to that young black female whatever gymnast she is. After dominating the U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials, it's her qualification for her third Olympics marks the latest chapter in her storied career. She has sort of anxiety issues or something. I forget. But that's the young people nowadays. The young, even talented people are affected mentally. Terrible. There was a little story, a little update on Australia. They're going after the vapes in Australia. Quote, "It is a public health menace, particularly for children and for young people," so said Australian Health Minister Mark Butler, announcing that Australia will restrict vape sales to pharmacies in a world-leading movement to cut nicotine use. Effective today, users in the country will need to present a doctor's prescription to a pharmacist to buy vapes. Wow, what a mess, huh? I'll tell you about some other stuff going on the Hague Report. But now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Hour 3.
It's why history must. I'm gonna celebrate with my friends. It's what history must. So be sure to tell everyone. There will always be different months to celebrate. This month's gonna be white history.
Amazing. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the Believe It or Not third hour already. What the? You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse, no biblical question right now? Nothing came to me yet. But when it does, I'll give it to you. All right? You can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad if you're busy by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. 3-1. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. And or rebuildingtheman.com. Rebuildingtheman.com. So it's Monday, and all of you, except the new people might not be aware, I take all call, but all of you know that every Monday is Female Monday.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
That's right. Been lied to for so long. It's White History Month. Happy White History Month, folks. Today is the beginning of it, the first day of July. And you're going to be hearing some amazing stories about this country and the people who built it and why they built it. All right? You're going to hear some amazing stories. I want to, in case you missed it, we started White History Month this morning with, in the first hour of my show here, the JLP, Jesse Peterson Show, with Representative Steve King. And Steve King, Representative Congressman Steve King, is an amazing American. He's one that really do love the country and want to see it amazing again. And the right-o Republicans fought against him when he was in Congress. They fought against him. The right-o Republicans who hate America, who hate you, and they are no different than the Democrats. They want money and power, and you don't matter. The right-os. All right? So I just want to just a little short clip of the representative. Here's a flashback related to our one guest, our first guest today, Representative Steve King. This is from Fusion 2017, when a black representative, Cedric Johnson, get angry at Representative King. Watch this.
That shocking number in El Salvador, 93.09 violent deaths per 100,000. Shocking. Until I looked up the data, and there, the violent death rate, that was actually characterized as a homicide rate in New Orleans, was 90 per 100,000.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to lose all civility in this committee if he thinks it's appropriate to compare New Orleans to Guatemala. Now,
the gentleman will suspend. The gentleman from Iowa has the right to make a statistical comparison between two locations.
Yeah.
Well, you're comparing the people in the locations. That'd be like me comparing them to somebody in the Klan. I don't have a basis to do that.
When the gentleman has completed his remarks, I'll be happy to recognize the gentleman from Louisiana to make his arguments to the contrary. But he's entitled to make those remarks.
We just had a conversation about civility in this United States Congress. Now, I wear badges of bipartisanship because I actually take up and stand up for principles. I am not going to sit here and let him do that. Now, the people I love, the people I respect, and I live in New Orleans. Now, if the gentleman persists on it, then let's go in the back and have the conversation about New Orleans. But I am not going to sit here and do that. And if it takes walking across over there, then I'm prepared to do that too. But it's not appropriate, it's insensitive, and it's nothing more than traditional white privilege of let me criticize a minority city. Now, take it how you want. I'm telling you how I feel.
See how these black so-called representatives don't want you to, they don't want the blacks to get better. They don't want the blacks to get better. Isn't that amazing? And it sounded like he was challenging Representative King to a fight. Violent. Black people, you got to drop the violence because it's hurting you. What you're doing to others, you're doing to you. I promise you, if you do these things to others, you're doing it to yourself. Likewise, when you do good to others, I don't mean just give them stuff and stuff like that. You do it to yourself. It's a spiritual rule. Whether you accept it or not, realize it or not, what you do to others, you're doing it to you. And this guy, the black guy from Louisiana, called himself a representative. And he is as violent as the people that he's representing. Sounds like he was saying, oh, let's go fight. Let's go be violent. There's a way to have a beautiful life without violence. You were not created to be violent. Any human being that is violent has an animal nature, animal mindset, and an animal nature. You're in a fallen state. But they want the blacks to be that way. And as Joy of Friday said, they're always making about race and racism instead of just disagreements. Cedric. What? Cedric Richmond? That's his name? Thank you. Cedric Richmond, the black guy. And unfortunately, these people are being voted into our government with the same street violence they've been raised up with, coming from their home with their mama. And then unfortunately, there are too many right-o Republicans that they won't even stand, they wouldn't stand with Representative Stephen King. And all he was trying to do is make America great. Build the wall, English first, one marriage, a marriage between one man, one woman. He was doing everything right. And the rhino's father gets him as well. I want to show you this really fast, and then we'll get to the callers here. I'm stunned to see that anger and resentment are virtues now. You don't need anger to defend yourself. If anyone tells you that, they're lying to you. That's your enemy. And anyone that has anger is your enemy. Don't make them your enemy, but you are their enemy. They hate you. And they blame you for their feelings. They blame you for their thoughts. They blame you for their emotions. They blame you for everything, not realizing it's them. Because they're not living from within. They're living from without. But anger and resentment are both the same, and it should not be your virtue. I want to show you where this is from Woke Preacher Clips on X, where a white preacher describes his life living, with a black woman. Watch this from X.
I live with a black woman who is angry at white people. And she, it'd be hard for me to say this without being emotional, because I feel her pain sometimes. The black people in my life that I've come to love, they're angry and they hurt deeply. And I don't understand how they can love me. And it's interesting because I've met Christians who are Native American and they hate white people and they love me. And I've met Africans who hate colonialists and they've loved me. But the pain, the suffering is real to them. My wife loves me, thank God. But she in many ways feels the suffering of her people. And I'm really thankful that she does, because she's not buried her head in the sand. She's not tried to deny it. But the gospel, the grace of God, has enabled her to love white people as individuals. And I think that's healthy, because history hurts.
Well, Beta, I get so emotional, baby.
Beta!
Every time I think of you.
Beta!
What a Beta. So he catches hell from the evil spirit of her both ways. The mama way and the white man way. What a Beta male. Can you imagine a woman being married to a mama's boy? That's a mama's boy. That black woman ain't feeling nobody's pain but her own. her all evil pay. And that's why we're losing America right now, because the whites are catering. No. Are catering to the black anger, black people anger, instead of telling them how to overcome it and why they're that way and how to overcome it. You're catering to evil, and you're catering to your own destruction. That was Randy Nabors, N-A-B-O-R-S, Nabors, at 2018 Greater Love Panel. Diving deep into a love for our neighbors. And here's a picture of Randy and his wife. Lord have mercy. I pity black men who marry black, white men who marry black women, because they always end up beta. Boo! The black women rule over the white man. That's why he up there about to crying. He can't even talk about this because he beta. What a beta. That's Randy and his wife. I don't understand. I understand why black women marry white men, but I don't understand why white men marry black women, because they can't handle them. They already can't handle the white woman. That's why they're leaving her, right? But they go and marry women who are, the anger of them are worse than the white woman's anger in some cases. Poor Randy. Don't blame him. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Up there lying. That woman ain't crying. She lying to you, Randy. She is not feeling the pain of anyone. You can't feel nobody else's pain. That's in your mind. How you know what someone else feel? 888, but this is where we are in America today. Mama's boys. And the women hate, literally hate mama's boys. A woman cannot look up to a mama's boy. A woman cannot go to a mama's boy and get advice on any issues in her life or any other thing. Women, stop. Don't just walk away from the mama's boy, because you already don't like weak men. You're setting yourself up to fall into all type of anger. 888-7753-773. Let me go to New Jersey and talk to first-time caller Aurelius. Aurelius, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
All is well, Aurelius. Welcome to the show.
Okay, so the reason why I'm calling, I wanted to talk about this documentary that came out about the most mentally ill family in America.
Uh-huh.
It's a family, and they had 12 kids, 10 boys and 2 girls. And six of the boys had schizophrenia. And, at the beginning of the show, they're talking about how the mom was, and they were like, oh, she was into arts, and the dad was in the army, and she was raising the kids. It was like in the 50s, and the mom was always home with the kids. And they said that she didn't like the army wives, because they were not, like, cultured enough or whatever. So the mom was, like, into society stuff, like, into being a socialite. And she was friends with the pastor that would go to the house all the time, who ended up like abusing one of the oldest child, who was the first one to come down with the illness. And then one by one, they all started getting sick. And the second one abused one of the daughters for many years. And when they went to the doctors, they said that their mom could have been part of the reason, but they were acting like that it was related to their upbringing. And even the daughter, when she's telling the story, she's like, oh, no, my mom wasn't guilty of anything. She was being accused. But then she says that when she told her that the brother was abusing her, the mom was like denying it or kind of like not interested in hearing about it.
Yeah.
And it's just when I watched the documentary, I thought of your show and I thought of you because they said that the mom, the family was like, no, she's not guilty. She was a good mom and whatnot. But even if she wasn't like trying to do it on purpose, she was the one bringing the pastor near the family who abused one of the children. She was the one that was very uptight and had all these rules. And the dad was like very passive, even though he was in the army or whatever, in the military.
Yeah.
And she was in charge of everything. And it's just so funny how you see all these stories and then somehow is always connected to the mom one way or another.
Yeah.
And me as a woman, I think to myself like, oh my God, it's hard to admit it. It's very hard to take responsibility. But if you look at it, if you pay attention, there's always like some weird stuff going on with the mom. And it's just, it's crazy. And that show, I thought it was like the proof of that.
Yeah.
And I see it not just in that show. I see it like all around me, like with my grandma and my mom and uncles and aunts and everything. It's just really crazy.
Every human being has the same problem. There's nothing different, nothing new. They must overcome their mothers and or grandmother, whatever woman raised them. They must overcome that if they want to be free. That spirit of evil comes from and through the mother. And it's not her, but it's that thing that made a home in her. And that's why you must forgive so you can return to the Father. But it's the best kept secret on this side of heaven. They'll blame it on everybody but the mama. Oh, a mother's love is so special. Mama's love is not special. A mother's love is evil. Have you forgiven your mother?
I did. Yeah, I forgive my mom.
How did it go when you went to her?
Well, she denied it at first. She was angry. She wasn't happy about it. She was like, okay, like pretending like it didn't happen. Like my memories are not accurate.
Yeah.
But then she kind of recognized that and we have a better relationship now.
Right on. Sure. Right on. Yeah. Well, you stay with, and that's an amazing story, but you're right. It's all around us. Every human, I've been doing, over the last 30-something years now, I've done amazing counseling around the world by phone, Skype, or walk-in. I'm hearing the same story from everybody, male and female, rich and poor, whatever color. It is a resentment for the mother. And they didn't know until they really paid attention because they tried to forgive the father. They tried to overcome with medication. They've been into mental institutions. They've been everywhere, and nothing works until they forgive the mothers, and that's when they start to get better.
Yeah, and the worst part is that it's like a vicious cycle because the daughter in the documentary, she then tried to be very open about mental illness with her children.
Yeah.
And then her son also started to have like symptoms and become mentally ill.
Yeah.
Because she was always trying to keep that topic, you know, on the table and always like reminding them of their uncles that are all sick. And then it's like the same story repeating. Over, and I've seen that in my family as well.
It's never going to end until somebody say, no more. I'm giving up the anger. I'm giving up the spirit of evil in my mind and emotions. When they forgive, God will forgive them. And if they do get married and start a new generation of children, they will pass on love because that would be of their nature. They will pass on love to the children rather than anger. And then a new generation will begin. But until they drop the anger, it's just going to repeat itself generation after generation after generation. Look at the black community. There are some blacks who are starting to wake up now. I see them all the time now, men and women. But the black community is not getting better, if there is a black community. It's not getting better because they won't drop the anger, that they won't forgive their mothers and grandmothers. It's amazing to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, that has to change.
It does. Happy White History Month, Elias.
Thank you. Happy White History Month.
Happy White History Month.
Mamma mia, si, senor.
Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, call me again.
Bye.
Bye now. 888-773-773. Serge from Texas. Serge, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Happy White History Month, Jesse.
Thank you. Happy White History Month.
I wanted to ask you, before I get into the question about the interracial relationship, Jesse, I'm a huge supporter of Joelle, and I've been Joelle thumping. I need to get rid of that, don't I?
You said what now?
I said I've been Joelle thumping. I need to get rid of that Joelle thumping thing, don't I?
What does that mean?
I can just quote.
What does that mean?
Everything, saying right on, fist bump, pound it, let God cook.
And why are you taking on someone else's personality?
I don't know. But I'm not being totally serious. I just like the quotes. You know how you
I see.
Them. I'm not being totally serious.
Okay. I thought you were traumatized.
I am traumatized. But the question about interracial dating, I noticed, Jesse, I'm 32, going to be 33, and I've been getting looked at by a lot of white women now, and I wanted to ask you, is that a natural situation? Because I've been really deep on it, trying to see if interracial relationships natural, and it just doesn't appear to be, but I could be wrong, so I wanted to get your take.
So as far as if you quoted some of Joelle's stuff, that's fine. As long as you see it, you're not personally identified with it, you'll be fine. So you're noticing that white women are trying to hit on you, or are they just looking at you?
Yeah, like relationships, dating, going out with them.
Oh, you've been going out with white women?
Yeah.
Are you black?
Getting to know them. Yup, as ace of spades.
And so why are you going out with white women?
To get to know them. They're nice. They're kind. They seem different than what I'm used to.
And what are you used to?
Black women.
So you don't know how to deal with the black women?
I don't know how to deal. I had to. No, I don't.
Are you working on yourself?
Yes.
If you're working on yourself, you will come to know how to deal with all people, no matter who it is. But if you're not working on yourself and you're running away from the black women because you can't deal with them, you're going to end up dealing with the white women in the same way you deal with black women, because you're just running away from mama's spirit right into mama's spirit.
Yeah, but it's a natural thing. I'm not running to white women, but they're just coming around. And.
You said that you don't know how to deal with the black woman.
That's true.
And so if you don't know how to deal with the black woman, you're not going to be able to deal with the white woman. Because it's all the same spirit. It's just in a different color box, but it's the same spirit. Are you doing the silent prayer every day, every morning and night?
No.
You're not doing the silent prayer. How will you get better? How will you change from evil to good if you don't do the prayer?
You don't. It's impossible.
So how are you working on yourself then?
I'm not. I'm loving my hell, and I'm just observing the thoughts. And I noticed that that's the only way that I'm saying that I'm working on myself. But I ain't really working on myself because I'm still suffering. But I do evaluate the thoughts, and I can see, like, when I'm speaking, I can see that.
But you're not seeing. You can only see by the light, and you're just seeing by the intellect. And seeing by the intellect, Satan is pretending to be the light, and he allows you to see what you want to see, but you're not seeing. Intellectual knowledge is not wisdom, it's not the light. I would recommend, Serge, do what you want. That you get, if you want, get serious about working on yourself and stop pretending.
Gotcha.
All right, bud.
So is that your way? Is that your way of saying that interracial relationships aren't natural?
Well, they're most. Interracial relationship happens because the guy or the gal, as Hate would say, is trying to get away from the spirit of their mother. As you are doing, you're trying to get away from the spirit of the black woman, running right into the spirit of the same black woman, just in a white body, but it's the same spirit. And so it's not happening naturally. It's happening because you're running from one spirit to another one. That's why, for the most part, different races of people get together because they're trying to find a different race, thinking that they'll be able to help handle that, and they won't be able to handle it at all because it's the same spirit. They're running away from the spirit of mama.
Man, that's deep.
I got to take a break. Back in a moment, the Trends and Chances open on DLive. Side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, for personal shout-outs, wedding shout-outs, congratulations shout-out, Happy White History Month shout-out, July is White History Month, congratulations, whatever it may be, I'll do them for you. Go to Cameo, Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right. And remember that no men's forum this week. It happens to be the 4th of July is happening on the first Thursday of the month. So no meeting this month. Also, The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV, he black. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And after Joel Friday TV, the one, the only American anchor baby. And his baby is coming home today. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news. She wrote an email just the other day. She said she was sorry. She walked away. His baby is coming home today. Ain't that good news? The American anchor baby at 12 noon Pacific time. You don't want to miss it, all right? And support us on social media. Like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe. JLP Talk on X. Rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Cozy.tv, where Christ is King. Cozy.tv/JLP. And Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram. All right. Let me. We opened the treasure chest, right?
Oh, I forgot to.
No, I think we did it.
No, you said that we did, but I never opened it.
Oh, you didn't do it on your part.
Yeah, so we're opening now, guys.
Nice. Okay. Let me go to James, our first time to call out of Rhode Island. James, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
What's up, Jesse?
All is well.
All right. I've been watching for a long time. I'm a big fan, but I wanted to ask you a question. Like, I wanted you to clarify more on why you think racism doesn't exist.
Because it doesn't.
It's just I know.
It's just a made-up word. That's all it is, in order to divide and conquer.
Okay, but you've acknowledged before that, like, for example, I've heard you talk about how in the 60s, or like when you were a kid, you weren't allowed to sit with the white people, you had to sit in the back. And that's because of racism, right? Like, I've heard you say, like, they didn't like the black.
No, we had to sit upstairs, not in the back.
All right, but you couldn't sit with the white people because they didn't like you because of the color of your skin.
So right.
That is racism.
No.
No?
Nope.
But racism is, it's when you discriminate against someone's color, right?
No, that's evil. It's only good or evil. There's no such thing as racism. And unless you understand the spiritual battle, you're not going to overcome it. And the people who made up the lie that is about racism, they did that because they want a cover of evil so that evil can control you through them and through you.
Right, but I get what you're saying, that it's evil, but also, like, don't you think we should have words to group things in? Like, this is
but we
that.
We do have words to describe things.
Right, so what, but I'm saying, like, the discrimination based on someone's race would be racism. It's also evil, but it would be racism.
No, it would be evil only.
Why only evil? Why can't it be two things?
Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and wickedness in high places. You're fighting against spirits in your mind and emotions, and you're dealing with them outside of you, inside of other people, if you're dealing with it.
So, Jesse, can I give you another example?
Yes.
All right, so socialism, right? You think socialism is evil, but why not just call it evil?
It is. You're right. It is evil.
Okay, so
because
socialism
is
but
you should be calling it evil rather than socialism.
Okay, so socialism doesn't exist, right?
Evil does, and it's a desire to control others. And if you pay attention to yourself and to other people, all evil people, men and women, want to control others.
Okay, sure.
Are you black?
No, I'm white.
So it doesn't exist. It's a made-up lie to deceive you about what's really going on.
But it does exist, but okay.
You said it does? Does?
Yeah, I still think it does.
And why would you rather believe that rather than see what's really going on?
Well, because you literally just admitted that. Even you said that people discriminate based on skin color, so that would be called racism. I know you're just saying it's evil.
People don't discriminate based on skin color.
You literally said like 2 minutes ago they did.
They discriminate based on good or evil. Good people would never do that to another.
That doesn't make any sense. That literally doesn't make any sense. But okay.
And why not?
Well, because people discriminate based on good or evil, but first of all, you're just using the words good and evil.
No.
And second of all,
the word good and evil, do you believe evil is real?
Yeah, sure.
Do you believe good is real?
Sure.
And how do you know evil is real?
Well, we as a society decide what is right and wrong, good or evil, to like help society function.
No, so, you don't. No, you don't. How do you know evil is real?
I just told you that society kind of like...
Society does not decide what's good or evil because they're wrong. You can't... another human being cannot decide what's good or evil because no one knows what it is until they can see it.
Okay, so for example, right, murder. Murder is evil, right?
Not necessarily.
No, it's not.
If you're defending yourself and you kill somebody, God forbid, that's not murder.
Right, murder is the unjustified killing of someone. Would that be considered evil? Unjustified killing of someone.
If you're not defending yourself, that would be evil.
Right. Okay. So I agree that like that's awful. But another reason why society like, if we allowed murder to happen, then society wouldn't be able to function.
The society is allowing murder to happen every day.
No.
Yes.
I mean. People get away with murder, but usually, like, we put murderers on trial, and sometimes they get acquitted, but sometimes they go to jail. And murder is illegal.
When black people kill white people, they don't go to jail.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is true.
Citation needed. Okay.
Go down to the hood, see what happened to you.
Okay.
It's true.
Sure.
And most of the time nowadays, they get away with it, and they don't even get caught by the cop. I have stories right now where white women are being raped right in the middle of the street, knocked out.
Jesse, how can you say this? Like, you are black. Like, this is pretty, like, kind of gross, to be honest.
What do you mean?
You're talking pretty badly about black people when you are black, so.
Well, I don't understand that statement.
Okay,
I'm talking about evil.
But I've heard you say on your show that black people are suffering due to their lack of moral character.
Absolutely.
That sounds like something a white racist would want to hear.
What do you mean? You know what? Don't you think, which is better, to tell black people, and not all, but most, to tell black people what the real problem is so that they can be free, or would you rather lie to them so they could be enslaved to the lie?
All right, so I disagree with the framing of the question because you said not all, but most.
Right.
I mean, what do you mean by most? Like, what percentage?
Most. You know what percentage is most?
So 51%, 60%, 70%?
But most, whatever most is, that's what it is. I forgot what that question was. Oh, would you rather for black people to know that they were their own problems rather than white people, or would you want them to think white people are their problems where they would never go free?
I disagree with the framing, like
well,
I said.
What does that mean? I disagree with it. That was a question. There was no framing.
That is a loaded question. So you're assuming a premise, which you're assuming that I agree with you that most black people
I asked you a question. I didn't say if you agree or disagree. I just asked the question.
No, but to answer that question, I'd have to assume what you're saying.
No, never assume. You're not supposed to assume.
But do you know what a loaded question is?
No.
No? Okay, so can I...
How old are you?
I'm 18.
Oh, no wonder.
Okay, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Happy White History Month. Are you celebrating White History Month with us?
No, I'm not.
Did you celebrate Black History Month?
I mean, I don't really... I mean, I think that... No, I didn't, no.
Why are you stumbling over that?
Well, because I don't want it to sound like I'm racist, but no, I didn't celebrate Black.
How would that sound like you racist if you said straight up, no, I'm not celebrating white? You sound racist there.
Do I? Okay. Well, I...
But with the black, you stumble. Why? How can you sound racist by saying, no, I don't celebrate Black history?
No, I don't.
But why would that sound like? Why would that sound racist? Though I don't understand it.
You're right. It was silly. I don't know.
You don't know what?
I don't know why. My bad.
Do you have fear of being called racist?
No.
You don't. Then why would you say that then?
Because it was a weird way to ask the question. But no, I don't think anyone celebrates a history month of a group of people. But.
No, the black people celebrate Black History Month. And we celebrate white history here every July. Doesn't July feels white?
No, I don't get what you mean by that, but isn't every month White History Month? Because literally, like, a point of a history month is to recognize a group of people, but white people are the majority.
You said the reason that you didn't want to say that about Black History Month because you didn't want to sound racist.
Well, no. It was a poor way of wording it. I could have worded it better. But.
And doesn't July just feel white?
I mean, it's hot.
Okay.
It feels hot. And what else? I don't know what that means by feels white. What do you mean by that?
You gave me one already. You said it's hot. What else?
Vacation time, relaxing time. Is that what you want me to say?
There you go. And then it's coming up Thursday of this week.
What's coming up Thursday this week?
The 4th of July, man.
Oh, the 4th of July. Yeah. I am celebrating that.
Just feel white?
Sure. Yes.
So do you agree with me that July just feels white?
I already said yes, so yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, James. Call me again. I appreciate it. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super, super.
Super chat.
Over on... Cash App, Bond JLP Cash App. David donated with no message.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
It's me, Xenia says.
It's me, Xenia.
She's a monthly supporter on Rumble, J.C. Lee Peterson Rumble. Even longer lines.
That guy that was at the fellowship yesterday with that Kohlberg art.
He was at the church, yes.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
That was Kohlberg art.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him what that's him. I like that name, Kohlberg Art. It just reminds me of a cowboy movie.
Nice.
It's a tough name.
Indeed.
I mean, but anyway, I interrupt.
She says, even longer lines at pharmacies in Australia. She's responding to my Hake News segment that Australia is mandating that vapes only be sold at pharmacies in Australia.
Vapes?
Yeah, vape where you go.
No people that smoke cigarettes?
Vapor. It's fake cigarettes. It's e-cigarettes or something. I don't know.
Oh.
And so they're trying to protect the kids from nicotine or something. And so the pharmacy lines are going to be even longer.
Where?
In Australia.
Oh, yeah?
Down under.
So they're trying to sell those fake cigarettes at pharmacy. Why pharmacies?
Because then they have more control over who's allowed to get them. It makes it harder to get the vapes for kids and stuff like that.
So that means you're going to have to go over to the prescription department to get it.
Yep.
What the?
Crazy, huh?
Is Australia a white country?
It is.
I rest my case. They're trying to bring down the white countries.
Indeed.
What a mess. Thank you.
Eli John.
Who was that from?
That was from It's Me, Xenia.
Thank you, It's Me, Xenia. I appreciate it.
Eli Jaw with a diamond. Send this old white guy to Africa with his wife. Referring to that preacher.
I know. He needs to go. What the? Amazing.
Eli
Jaw. What a beta.
With another diamond, Eli Jaw asks, do you think Big Mama is going to replace Biden?
You know, I keep hearing that. It's a possibility, but I don't know. I really don't know what the Democrats are going to do at this point. But I do know that watch out for them because they're desperate. And they're desperate to bring down America. And they are desperate to keep so-called power and wealth in order to do that. So at this point, anything is possible that's evil coming from the Democrats and the media, which are the Democrats. Thank you. So it is possible.
Star Sion, Sion C, bought a coffee. Jesse, I see white single mothers as well. Jesse, how do you deal with the loss of close people in your life? I'm having a very hard time with it. I'm afraid to lose any others I care about, especially after witnessing a funeral. My best friend haven't been the same. I'm scared.
If you love them, you would not be afraid. But if you had a false relationship with them, identity, then you're afraid. You just let go. I mean, you had your time with your friend. They're no longer around. Stay out of your mind and emotions. If you do grieve for a minute, let it pass. And don't stay into thoughts about it. You will become depressed. All right? So just let it pass and move on with life. All right? I wish you well, Sion. What the? But stay out of your head about it. An emotion, because you think about it, you're going to feel something, and that's what the devil wants you to do. And the devil makes you think you're feeling those things because you loved your friend or you loved your family member, and it's just not true. All right? I wish you well, C.R. Amazing. And may your friend's soul rest in peace. Thank you.
Colby bought three coffees. Jesse, through God, can we have logical foresight?
Through God, can we have logical force? What does logical mean?
Sensible.
That's the only way you'll get it.
Nice.
And the one thing I want you to know, the intellect is not through God. All right? Let all thoughts go. When you hear things, don't hold on to it. Just like the devil quote the Bible to people, and you hear him repeating the Bible in your head, and you think you got it, and you're ready to go preach. But you don't have it. It's just intellectual. You do not. God does not speak to you with words. His voice is a voiceless voice. And if you let the knowledge go, you will live by the voiceless voice. All right? I wish you well. Thank you.
Ronnie from Ohio bought a coffee. Uncle Jesse, do you have proof that Caitlin Clark is being mistreated due to her being white and straight?
I saw him knock her down.
Do you have proof that the black girls are jealous of her, or are you just speculating?
One girl said that she, and I'm not quoting her exactly right, Ronnie, but something like, well, history going to be remembered not just because of her, but something like, all right, I'm not quoting exactly right, but do you remember that?
Angel Reese. Yeah.
What did she say? History
going
to be.
In 20 years, they won't just be saying about one person. They'll know that it's because of me too. People watching women's basketball, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That's jealousy.
Total jealousy.
That more proof, Ronnie. But a good question. Thank you.
I think it's a false dilemma, being able to prove versus just speculating.
Right.
Because you can know something without being able to prove it. Yeah. It's not everything is provable. Jay bought 33 coffees. Very generous. Because of the evil inside of us, all sin were forgiven. That's how we can have evil inside of us without us sinning, so that we can overcome sin without the guilt. By the way, hey, I like your shirt. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. I don't understand what you said, though.
I don't either, exactly. He's talking about there's evil inside of us.
Right.
But we're not sinners.
Right.
And all sin was forgiven.
Right.
And we can overcome sin without the guilt. But I don't
know
how he strung it together. Jay,
be a little clear. I think you're making a point, but it's just not quite clear. And I can't amen it if it's not clear. But I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Eli Ja and some of these other people are sour grapes that I didn't say. I said big mama instead of some other word, but that's how it goes. You got to keep it clean, guys.
Yeah. Keep it clean. Don't be giving us your mess.
Shout out to the top contributors
well, thank you.
On DLive. Aries 1, Eli Ja, Games for Rec, Kid Combo 1, and the rest of the supporters on the DLive crew. Shout out, guys. And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me go quickly back to the phone. Rick out of Virginia. Rick, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Man, my brother Jesse Lee. What's going on, man?
All is well, Rick. Happy White History Month.
Hey, thank y'all, man. You too, man. I just want to come in on White History Month, man. You know, I love white people. I have quite a few friends that I fellowship with and are actually great friends, man. And whites have contributed a lot to America.
If it wasn't for white, there would be no America.
Yeah, you know, because see, like, you know how you hear blacks saying, they built this kind of the back of the slaves. But you know what I tell them? Well, they had to have instruction too, huh?
That's right.
somebody had to be in design. Hey, put that brick there. Hey, lay that pipe down there. You know.
Plus, they didn't just build this country on the backs of black people. They were already building America. What the?
Yeah, that was out of the boat of Charles and all these there. Built off the boxes of us. Al the Buzzard Sharpton. I call him Al the Buzzard.
Oh, Al Sharpton?
Yeah, I call him Al the Buzzard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they say that. I mean, everybody has contributed to this country. Every race. I love all people.
Right on.
If I can name all the different races of people, I would name them. Everybody has contributed to this great nation of the United States of America.
That's right.
And my thing is,
I got to run because the clock is going to cut us off. Thank you for that, buddy. I am so out of time. The Hickory Point is coming up now. Listen, Happy White History Month. If you have some amazing white stories, call us. And then thirdly, get on that straight and narrow path. Stay there. Overcome knowledge, though, because the devil will. You hear me say something, and the devil repeating in your head, but if you're not paying attention, you think that that's you learning that, and you start saying it, thinking that that's the truth of it, and it won't be. Let all words go. You want a voiceless voice, all right? You don't want to live by thoughts. I mean, you shouldn't want it. You may want it. But you shouldn't want it. So go and forgive, do the silent prayer, and stay present so you can catch all voices that come from the devil. Knowledge of this, knowledge of that, and everything else, all right? The Hate coming up now, and after The Hate, Joel Friday at 11 a.m., he black. And after him, The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. Thank you for your support. Mike from Tennessee. Jaden from Texas, JD from New Hampshire, and then Jamel from Canada. I'm so out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, believe it or not, it's Country and Western Tuesday already. Have a good day, folks, and amazing. Work on you. You're responsible for you. Nobody else. Stop blaming. You're responsible for you. You'll be free. Take care now. Here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer, and I want you to start doing it. You just download it, get the points of how to do it, and then after a while, you just do it on your own. It's going to point you in the right direction that your life will be returned to you from God. He will give you your life back because anyone and all people who has anger, they're not themselves. You are the person that you are angry at. That's why it's so important to get to know yourself, so that you can see who you're angry at. And if you're doing the hooping and hollering prayers and things like that, some people get up, oh, praise the Lord, hoop and holler, bless my mama, bless my daddy. Continue to do it. Do both. You will see if you want to stay with the hooping and hollering or do you want to be still and know God. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. Most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why do you think you tick? It didn't go your way or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts made you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darndest thing I ever seen, but it's amazing to see it. So relax.